Look, of course, they are going to have to choose a new leader because the whole system works on having a individual with a name that you swear personal loyalty to, Bayat. It's exactly the same way that the Al-Qaeda affiliate system works. So the connection between the center and the periphery, the affiliates, is always the personal loyalty of the leader of the affiliate to the leader of the whole organization. So there is no other choice for them to appoint a leader as quickly as they possibly can.
How would they do that? And who are, for lack of a better phrase, the leading candidates?
Well, I mean, I just remind everyone of the discussion last time where a lot of names were handled and then none of them turned out to be the one who's actually chosen. So what is clear is the profile of what it's going to be. So far, the center of gravity as far as global network is concerned is still Iraq and Syria, and Iraq more than Syria. So we are very likely seeing an Iraqi guy. He definitely will claim, like the last one, or actually have a family lineage to the Prophet, which is important because he's supposed to be the caliph of this whole organization. So there are some requirements here. And the problem of the guy that just got killed was that he had some Turkmen background in his family, which was initially a bit of a problem of some of the affiliate leaders questioning whether he would be the appropriate person for swearing bayat to. So this one, I assume they're not going to repeat that mistake. So most likely an Iraqi Arab from possibly even the same tribe that Baghdadi was, should be the profile of the new leader, who, as we have seen, doesn't need to do much to maintain the brand. This one hardly had any public exposure before he got killed. So obviously the network works very well as if there is a name, but not much of a public profile of the actual leader of the organization.
And speaking of the organization, how would you assess the organization's viability at this point? Do they have resources? Do they have money? Do they have support right now?
Yeah, I mean, I would direct everyone to the recent report just published on the 3rd of February by my former colleagues, the Al-Qaeda, ISIL Al-Qaeda Taliban Monitoring Team of the United Nations Security Council, where they outlined, this was before they knew the guy was killed, the report was actually written in December, but even in December, they already outlined that the organization is not doing badly. So there is a bit of a pushback in Southeast Asia. There's, of course, a massive increase of the organization in Afghanistan. Africa, they're doing generally very well, even sorting out some rivalries in West Africa. So all in all, if you look at the global picture, the organization is doing well. Now, what does that mean for overseas operations? As we had seen in the past, there was always attempts to do them, most of them unsuccessful. What helps us at the moment is, of course, these continuing travel restrictions and restrictions on public gatherings due to COVID. So the lull that we have seen is possibly a combination of them still working on their external operations capability, but also us having the advantage of these restrictions, which make it simply harder and soft target environments poorer. What we have clearly seen going on all the time is several of the affiliates, including specifically also ISIS in Afghanistan, encouraging individuals in Europe and the United States to actually conduct lone actor attacks, i.e. no big preparation, no big planning, as it was in the Bataclan attacks in 2015, but simply an individual who feels him or herself motivated to do some attacks. That's still going on.
After the U.S. military event that killed Qureshi, how would you assess ISIS's ability to protect itself from assuming a lot of information was discovered at that site before the U.S. left? And I'm pretty sure they're probably going to go through it page by page, piece by piece, and then they'll share it with their partners. How would that impact the ability of ISIS to do what ISIS wants to do?
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of these kind of high-risk operations where you actually send ground troops in to do the deed, as it was with Osama bin Laden, as it was with Baghdadi, as it was with Qureshi, as it wasn't with Zarqawi, the very original leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, who later became ISIL, where they simply dropped the bomb on the house, is, of course, that you have all of the operational information that was at the leader's office. However, what we had seen over the last years where the guy Qureshi was the leader is that he was exceptionally careful as far as operational aspects is concerned. No electronic devices anywhere near him. So I'm not sure how much of material of value was actually in the house if he's that careful, but at least there's more than you would have if you just dropped a bomb on the house where you know that he's living. So, you know, obviously this is a hit. Again, after a fairly short time after Baghdadi was killed, another hit to the organization. Now, the big question, of course, is going to be how quickly are they going to be able to reestablish their network system and how much leverage that means for the affiliates in the meantime to operate independently, right? So it will take some time, but it will, in my assessment, it will definitely happen because if you look on the global picture, the organization is doing very well, including in Iraq and Syria. And here I would point to this horrible attack on the SDF prison, which essentially highlights the absolute danger what happens if you let ISIL fighters linger in prisons of an organization that no one recognizes, no one really supports financially or militarily, and thinking that they are going to take care of our future terrorists. Now, the advantage of the attack on the prison was that this was a prison for Iraqi and Syrians, so not directly affecting Europe or the American or the US at this point, but they could have very well chosen another prison. And what that operation showed is that ISIL is back in its operational sophistication, pretty much where they were 2012-13, of being able to organize, conduct, plan, and execute very complex attacks with car bombs, individual suicide bombers, and then small arms fire in stages. So that really is a warning sign that A, the capabilities are growing again, and B, this was just luck that it was this prison and not a prison or a camp where all of the foreigners were hosted.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director of the Counter-Extremism Project, J.J. Green, WTOP News.